the summer is stick around summer. And I hope when you leave here today, you're encouraged. You know, a lot of times when we come to church, we're always wondering what we're going to get, what's it going to be like. So if you came expecting something like that, it's going to be totally different. So I want to encourage you. So turn with me into John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. We're talking about watering. So watering means to saturate. It means to moisten or sprinkle. And whether you are watering or being watered, I want you to, we got some pictures we're going to roll on the screen here, because I'm going to talk to you about watering not only being necessary, but it also being refreshing. Think about this. So as God waters the ground, the grass grows, the trees grow, the birds are in the trees, and this whole ecosystem works out. And it's the same with God's kingdom. If you get filled with the Holy Spirit and you get filled with God's word, then you can pour it out on some people there and water whatever's going on in their life. And we know that watering is something that God wants us to do all through the Bible. So I just picked two places in the Bible where God's talking about watering. And I wanted to share this first one with you from John 7, 37 through 39. It says, "But in the last days, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out and saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.' But this spoke he of the Spirit, which who believed on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit is not yet given." So we know that the day he's talking about, the day of Pentecost, hasn't come yet. So we know that after Jesus left, he left the power, the third person of the Trinity, the power of the Holy Spirit to encourage me and you to go do things for his kingdom. And if you understand that, say amen. We're not really sure what it is all the time, but we know we're supposed to be doing something for God, right? That's what gets you to show up to church and do all these different things. So, and we're let's go back to the pictures here. So I want you to think about something for just a second, and we're doing kind of a word picture. We're going to leave these run because it's relevant to what I wanted to talk to you about. Picture yourself, close your eyes for just a second. Picture yourself just sitting like in a small reservoir of water, and you're sitting under a waterfall. And the waterfall just kind of rushing over your head and kind of rushing over your body and almost to the point where it's so soothing that you don't want to leave. And it's just flowing over. Okay, open up your eyes for just a second. So God wants to do that in your life. And it's refreshing to know that it might take a little work to get in his word, to get in prayer, to come to church, but it's worth it when it happens. Amen? So think about this. Put it this way. I thought about all the different things in water. So I'll tell you how I got the concept. A couple of weeks ago, you know, God was speaking to me, and I was trying to figure out where I was going with my series and the summer. And you guys living here in St. Louis got to see the hail coming down and the rain coming down and all that kind of stuff. We shouldn't be surprised living in St. Louis when all that stuff happens, because it happens every dang April. And the sirens go off on the phone. What's up with what's up with the sirens on the phone now? I'm like, this has been going on forever. I mean, there's sirens going off and people are taking shelter and all this kind of, man, this stuff has been going on since we was kids. Amen. The heavy downpour and all that stuff. What God's trying to do is water his earth to keep life going. Amen. So I thought about this. So, and it does take a lot of work sometimes. And I don't know why people fly to Florida to sit on a beach to look at a big body of water, but it's beautiful, I know. And they spend hundreds and thousands of dollars, and they get there, and I'm like, "What'd you guys do out there?" And they're like, "Went to the ocean. And we rented an Airbnb. Say it with me, an Airbnb. Thousands. We racked up our credit card to go look at a body of water. And I thought, man, it'd be easier just to look at a puddle and cheaper. But I want to add to this. So we get around this water, and whether it's a splash pad or all these different things, because there's something about it. It's refreshing. It's cleansing. It actually kind of makes you feel alive. So I remember when the splash pads came out. I can't remember if I took my nieces or nephews or my grandkids there. And you go to the splash pad, and, you know, the kids are there, and it's hot. And they're like, come on, Grandpa, you going to get in? And you're like, no, I ain't getting in. And then you sit around there. It's like being at the barber shop. You're not looking for a haircut, but if you sit there long enough, you're going to end up getting one. And then you end up getting in the splash pad you said you wasn't going to get in. Because water is attractive. It's life-sustaining, this, that, and the other. And so I was filling up my cold plunge tub. So all this work, you know, you got to wipe it out and do this, do that. And I'm filling it up, and it's huge. You know, it takes forever to fill it up. And I'm thinking, man, what a pain this is. I mean, in the Western world, we think everything's a pain. But if you lived in the third world country, you would know that water is not only precious, but sometimes it's very rare. Amen? And maybe that would, if we lived in a third world country, maybe we wouldn't leave the water flow while we're brushing our teeth. Oh, Lord, don't quit looking around. You ever notice that? You just like, you know what? I'm brushing my teeth. I need to let the water run. No, you don't. Your teeth don't know if the water's flowing or not. We just let it run. Here's the deal. Water is precious. Well, and we got some of the best water in the nation here in Missouri. So I'm filling up this cold plunge tub, and I'm wiping this and doing this and that, filling it up. I'm standing there, and I'm going, man, what a pain this is to do all this work. But the benefits are phenomenal. So I want to tell you today, it may have been a pain to get to church, but the benefits are phenomenal. Amen. Now, I'll tell you, so we go to the lake, we go to the Ozark, go to Table Rock, you do all this kind of stuff, and you go to the rivers and everything. Think about this. Think about this, how attracting water is. Do you remember when you was a small child? I remember when my mom hooked up the sprinkler. Oh, yeah. And we never had the that was for rich people. Do you want me to do that? I know you. I'm not going to do it, though. So the sprinkler, I know kids are not, Mr. Cove, kids aren't going to think there's anything to the sprinkler, but I thought it was the neatest thing in the world that my mom would come out and give a, say it with me, permission. She would hook up that hose, and we would run through the sprinkler. Kids nowadays would go, what do you do after you run through it? You watch this. We did it again. I need an amen somewhere in this, so I want to feel like I wasn't the only one doing this. Tim, and then after it made mud, we slid in it and we made mud pies. Oh, I started out the last service or in Moscow, and I told the kids, I said, I remember. You could be anybody when you was laying on a swing. Remember how you'd lay on it about right here? And it didn't matter. It was summertime. If that belt was, it was just cold black and be hotter than blade. You're like, oh, and you're swinging back and forth and running your finger in the dust and all that. I thought that was the neatest thing in the whole wide world. That's the cool thing, not only about living in America, but by being refreshed by the Lord in the living water. It's something supernaturally attracting to be in the house of the Lord and being around God's people. Amen? Amen. So today I pray that you're refreshed and that you will leave here being a water. Amen? Amen. So let's applaud the Lord for that. Hallelujah. Let us pray, and then we'll pray for the offering and get into the message. I really believe you're going to be blessed by this message. So Lord, you tell us out of our bellies, the core of us, we would flow living water. Lord, I want to leave here and everyone know that I'm a waterer. I'm a reservoir that you have filled up to be poured out on a lost and dying world. I want to water other people's seed. I want to help dreams come true. I want to lay hands on sick people. I want to high five and encourage people. I want to pray for those who need prayer and believe, Lord God, I'm not the only one in the world. I want to believe that there's other people out there that need your love the same way I do. And watch this, Lord. I want to be a message. I want to carry the message with me when I leave here. And I want to ask you, Lord God, to bless the offering today, bless the Lord's Supper and the whole service here today, Lord, and God's people. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So if you're water, applaud the Lord and let the basket come by. Hallelujah. All right, turn with me into John chapter 4. So we're talking a little bit more about water, and I kind of set the stage for you about water. And so this is another story that talks about water and living water. And you guys read your bulletin, and if you're a guy here, I hope you join us for the men's retreat. You can sign up out there, that would be great. As I go on and continue to live in this world, I think I should probably have a men's retreat every month. To help society out, because it's kind of a scary place that we've run into this the problem with identifying who's who. So if you make it to the men's retreat, ladies, I promise your guy will come back and he'll have a definitive answer of what a man is. Amen. A biblical answer, rather. All right, let's get into it. 4:1, so where we're going to go, we're going to just slide right into it. We'll chop it up as we go and be thinking about that. Be thinking about that living water. Be thinking about that pool or that lake or that ocean or the river, wherever you go. Just be thinking about that and what it means. And spiritually, we'll be talking about being a waterer. I don't have to be about me today, Scott. I just want to be, when I leave here, I want to water whatever your dream is, Barbara. I want to pray for that and your family and Mr. Cope and all you guys. I want to pray for whatever it is you got going on. I want to watch this, Glory. I want to be part of whatever's going on in your world. I want to help make it better. Amen. And the healing you need, young lady, and all that. I just want to be around. I just want to water things so they watch this, so they'll grow. I like when things grow, amen. I like just to let them grow, you know. I was thinking about that, and me and my wife just threw 200 pounds of seed out in my hay field, and right after that, God was so gracious, and he watered all that, and we're believing for a great harvest this year. So through Christmas and through Easter and all the winter holidays and all this different things that was going on, now we're all that seed that is planted, we're going to pray that we can water it and help it grow and stuff like that and hope that it gets cultivated and gets harvested. Amen. And you may not be the one in all the steps. And I know you're like me, so follow me today. So I might be the one, I need to be filled, and I need to water, and then I need to make it grow, and then I need to be there to harvest because it's my family. Here's the deal. It probably won't happen that way. It probably won't happen that way. You might be in some part of this phase leading somebody to Christ. You might be in some part. You may not be in all the parts, or you just might be the praying part. But we know today when we get filled up, we're going to go pour it out on some people all over, everywhere we come in contact. Amen? So here's the story. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although himself Jesus did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed for Galilee. So this is a hotbed for ministry. We know when they say Galilee, something darn big is going to be going on here. Something big is going to be going on. I can't wait for the story. I can't wait to see what's going on here. And he had to pass through Samaria. Uh-oh, we don't like Samaria. Isn't that just like human beings? We don't like Samaria. Here's the deal, JD. They don't come from the same neighborhood I do. They don't look like me. They don't walk like me. They don't talk like me. And they don't fit in the box. Who cares? Amen. Who wants to be stuffed in a box anyways? I mean, why is society trying to control and manipulate, and you're all like some robot up in here or something? Man, I don't fit in a box. And here's the deal: I color outside the lines. Yeah, I, chef, I just color outside. It's okay. Tell your neighbor it's okay. I know some of you guys are hyperventilating. You go, oh, he goes outside the lines. I was that guy, you know. Some people are real neat and in their penmanship and stuff like that. My penmanship was horrible. They go, you should have been a doctor. Not really, but I mean, with my autograph. But when you lay down to color, I was always the one that went outside the lines. I couldn't stay in the lines because I was like, why do I got to stay inside the lines? What happens if I actually just like go outside the line? Come on, I need a little bit of a hand raise up. I'm going to get you. I got to tell you this. My dad's in heaven now, so I don't know if he's watching the broadcast, but. I got to say this to you. Who's been grounded here? Grounded. I mean old school grounded. There's three levels of grounding. I've told you this before. What is this grounding you speak of? Well, there's three levels. There's grounded in the yard. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Grounded in the yard. Grounded to the house. Back when I was a child, being inside a home was the ultimate curse. Look at me, everybody. Lamonis, it was a curse. I couldn't stand to be inside a house. It was unheard of. Whether it was snowing or it was summer, we was never inside a house. And then in like DEFCON 3, like solitary confinement, was your room. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But here's the deal. I felt like kind of a convict. I was like, I wish I had a mirror. I could look down the hallway. Don't act like you didn't go there. And kids are going, I can't believe it, man. What do you mean? I love going to my room. It was the ultimate. It was punishment. And we didn't have air conditioning, so you knew your friends were out playing, having a better time than they've ever played. And watch this, everybody's going to the park and we're playing soccer today. We used to go to the park, we'd be down there for 8 hours, 10 hours. Laura, you hearing what I'm saying today? What happened to America? So here's what I wanted to tell you about that, just calling outside the lines. I remember if my dad would have caught me putting my foot over the curb. I mean, this was grounded at the, I remember doing it. I remember my little Converse tennis shoe just going over the, amen. Because no punishment could actually be handed out till he was home from work. We okay still? So this is, isn't it refreshing just to kind of go, you know what, man, it's cool to be cool. So here it is. So let's go into five. So you're ungrounded. That, what a great word that was. When am I being released on parole? So he came. Report cards were always the worst. I'm going to, the kids are tired of the stories. Here we go. So he came to a town called Sychar. And if you're reading King James, it would say Shechem, same city. Near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Listen to this class, old school people. Joseph's well was there. Say that with me. Joseph's well was there. Who cares about an old well? Who cares? I don't like stories about the well in the Bible. They're boring. Does anything explode out of it or does it catch on fire? No, it's just a well. That's where the towns were built, around the well, because that's where the living water was. Water was precious. Water was life-sustaining. And it helped keep people moving, keep people going. So let's not look at this well, or maybe this well that you're carrying around, this body, is a container for the Lord's living water in you. So it's just not, it may look like the same old well, but today we're getting an upgrade. Amen? We're getting an upgrade here. So Jesus, wearied as he was from the journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour, and a woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said, "Give me a drink." They're sitting by the well, but his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food, and the Samaritan woman said to her, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealing with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you," say it with me, class, "living water." Say it one more time, living water. Wow, this living water, man, this has got to be awesome. Here's the deal. Living water is life-changing water. And once you've had a drink from the living water, no other drink will do. No other drink will satisfy. Amen? All right, let's go. He says, "The woman said to her, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where do you get this living water?'" Question mark. So now she's inquisitive. I want to know where you can get this living water. I want to know where this comes from. Are you talking about the well? Or what are you talking about, something supernatural? Where can I get this? "Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well to drink from himself, as his sons did, and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Say this with me, welling up. It's bubbling up. Something's going on. Something's going on in the church, and something's going on in the services, and something's going on in our lives today here. God is bubbling up the water. He's stirring the water. He's stirring the pot. He's waking you up. He's trying to get your attention today. He said, "I want to do mighty things in you today." So let's think about this for just a second. God wants to use me to water other people. Yeah, sometimes we've got to humble ourselves when we walk into church and know it's not just about me. And God dropped that in my spirit. He said, "I want you to get out there and I want you to start watering other people's seed. I want you to start watering other things that people are doing." Here's the deal. This spring that's welling up inside of you is eternal life. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come to draw water." Jesus said, "Go cut." Now listen to this. So he's addressing the sin in this lady's life. But I want you to think about this water being refreshing to sinners. Just think about that. Close your eyes for just a second. When you bring this word to these people, even in the midst of their sin, it can be a refreshing word because it's not judgmental and it's not toxic. Open your eyes. No, watch this. No one likes somebody that's toxic. I'm going to say it right here. No one likes anybody that's toxic. I want to stay away from them like bad breath. Did I just say that? I don't want to be around it because I'm afraid some of it'll get on me and I'll be toxic. Like, that's why I tell you, stagnant Christians stink. I didn't say they wasn't saved. I just said they stink. Stagnant water stinks. God wants this well to bubble up inside of you so you can go share it with people. You want it to, he wants it to rise up in you. He's wanting you to, you know, I got to tell you something. I was driving down the road and I called my buddy Jeff Ridley. I don't know if you guys know Jeff Ridley, but he broke his leg. So he's in a wheelchair, and he had a stroke years ago. He's in a wheelchair and he got up to put a dish in the sink and he fell and he broke his leg. And so he's in the hospital. I went to go see him the other day, and we're conversing back and forth on the phone, and I'm trying to encourage him. I'm driving down the highway, and he encouraged me. And hold on for a second. It's weird that someone else would encourage you when you're calling to encourage them. So it had to have been God working in there, and he said, let me quote, let's see, it was from, let me see if I can quote what he quoted, because he said him and his son were doing this. Let's see. It's in Revelation 3:15. "I know your works, that you're neither hot nor cold. would that you either hot or cold, so because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will spit you out my mouth. Now, I'm studying this and I'm in this and I'm talking about water and bubbling up and being refreshed and everything. He said, Pastor, he goes, me and my son were studying this in the hospital. I wanted to share this with you. And I said, do you mind if I share that with the congregation? Because you just watered a seed. You just watered a seed that was in my spirit. I said, you're blessing me and I'm supposed to be blessing you. And then I called his wife. I said, man, your husband has been a blessing. Here's the whole deal. Your family's a blessing to me. And I wasn't even looking for it, but God gave it to me because he knew in due time, if I do not give up, we would reap a harvest, church. Can I get a witness from God? He can water you when you need to be watered. This guy's laying in a hospital bed watering my seed. Watch this. I want to be like him. I want to be like him. I don't want to be a toxic person. I want to be a person. Say this with me. I want to be a waterer. I just want to be a waterer. I want to go around. Tiffany, I want to go around and bless people. I just want to walk around. I want to high five people. I want to hug them. I want to encourage them. I want to let them know, you know what? You're doing a good job. Is anybody ever got any coffee drinkers here? And I'll move on. I just got. Yeah, I love it. Hot coffee's better than anything in the world. But you know, after you let it set for a while, and you, Dr. D, and then you go over to pick it up, and you start, you're like, do this with me. Look at your cup. The heck is in there? This ain't Randy the Barber's coffee. This didn't come out of the coffee cabin. Now look at it like this for just a second. But here's the deal. We'll spend money and go get iced coffee. Oh, don't act like you won't. Remember, you are a rebel. Stand up with me. I'm going to talk to everybody. We're going to bring it home. You was a rebel. Ashley, there ain't no way I'm going to be like one of these kids and drink iced coffee. Yeah, you might lose your man card. Iced coffee, what the heck? I had a friend of mine call me one time, and he was fishing down in Branson. Me and Mike Sr. just happened to be in Branson. Don't tell anybody. I hope this don't go out too far. And he said, hey, man, he said, before you go home, he said, drive through McDonald's and get an iced coffee. I was like, should we dare? It's just me and Mike Sr. I mean, nobody really knows. And Jason said, haven't put an extra shot of espresso in it. This is a true story. I only tell it to the church. You can start playing, Chris. This is going to be good. So I'm drinking an iced coffee. And so is Mike Sr. I'm thinking, man, there can't be anybody more manly than me and him. If somebody sees us with an iced coffee from McDonald's, my man card's getting jerked. So don't tell anybody, but I want to tell you something. It was refreshing. Because it was in the middle of the summer, it was refreshing. Now, I drink hot coffee, too. I'm not trying to throw you off here. But what I want to tell you is you know the difference between something that's lukewarm and something that's ready to be watered. Lukewarm don't get it from me. God, and now I know how, you know, what God's talking about here. He says, you know what, I'd rather you come to me hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, I spit you out my mouth. So I thought about this, and I could go into her sin, but you guys all know she had five husbands. And Gloria, everybody goes, whoa, he got five husbands. Now what that means is, you know what it means as adults. She's got five that weren't her husband, and the one she's with now is not her husband either. Can I keep preaching? Don't get quiet on me. That was her sin issue. She had issues like you guys are holier than her probably, but listen, you have some sin. And all you need to be, say this with me, is watered. You just need to be watered. Somebody, so that's what God has me doing today, is I'm just watering whatever's going on in your life. I want the seed of God that he has planted in you from your infancy and your birth, your spiritual birth. I want it to grow so big that it pushes sin out of your life. Yes. Amen. The one that you water the most is the one that's going to grow the most. All right, here we go. Here we go. Close your eyes for just a second. I'm going to give you some real life stuff. Just if you want to be a water, you can hold your hand up. Just tell God, you could use me. I'll go water some stuff. I'll go water some stuff. And I want to tell you a story. Open up your eyes for a second. I like encouraging people. There isn't anything I love more. There isn't anything I love more than in Laurel in the world than working for the Lord. I love. There's nothing I would rather do. I love praying for people. I love watering. I love high-fiving and hugging them or whatever, you know, with the dudes and all that. I was at McAllister's. I was on a ministry situation, and I was out there in St. Charles, and I don't know if the girl's watching the broadcast, but she was a new girl. She was a young girl. I'd say she couldn't be older than 19. I got socks older than she is. I don't have them on, but I have them. She was rattled because it probably was her first day. You know what I told her? I said, it's okay. I said, take your time. Watch this class. I got all day. I got all day. And I almost took on like a grandfather's dad's role. Are there any dads or grandpas in here? She's struggling at the register just a little bit. She was pretty uncomfortable. And there's a whole line. It's lunch, say it with me. There's lunchtime. I'm just kind of standing there. I'm just kind of guarding. I'm that guy. I'm the waterer, and I'm the guarder. I guard the weak. I guard the young people who are trying to get elected. We all want them to get jobs. We scream and holler about them getting a job. And when they get a job, you need to water. So here's what I said to her. I said, young lady, I said it to her twice. You're doing a good job. Amen. You're doing a good job. And here's the deal. I don't care how quick my food gets there. I don't care if the order screwed up. I'm not going to be the guy who goes, well, I didn't want tomatoes. I'm not that guy. Don't be that guy when that kid brings that thing to your table. Don't be the toxic person that's going to ridicule them. I didn't want tomatoes on my salad. Here's the deal. Go to another restaurant then. That's what this girl brought you. You eat it. Come on. Oh, you don't like that. Come on. But you'd like it if your kid was up there. Whatever it is, I'm the guy. Just bring it here. That's fine. It looks good. Watch this. Here's what I say. It looks good to me. It looks good to me because I used to be that person, and your child's working at one of those restaurants somewhere. Say that with me. Be a water and say, it looks good to me. Looks good to me. That's fine. That's all good. Watch this. If I'm hungry, I'll go order a pizza or something. It's all good. Tell your neighbor not to get mad right now. Tomatoes ain't going to screw my life up. There's only one food I will not eat. It's onions. I can't stand onions. I don't know why God made them, and you can repent if you eat them. Don't eat onions. They're unholy. But watch this. If a young person brings me a salad that's got onions in it, look at me, big people. I can eat around them. I eat around those onions because I want to be a waterer. And all I'm doing is setting the stage for you. You guys want to do it too. You just need to know there's permission to do that. I want to be a waterer. The other day we was at Texas Roadhouse and in the same scenario, it was a young lady. She waited on us. I already gave her a tip and everything. And then my wife said, you didn't give her enough tip. Amen. I tracked her down and I said, here. And she says, I'm just happy you gave me something. I said, I'm not. I want to give you what's correct. Don't be a Christian and go to a restaurant. And Christians should be the biggest tippers when they go to the restaurant. I know you holy people want to give them a track. It's hard to buy groceries with a track. It's hard to pay the bills with a track. Now here, I'm not telling you not to give tracks. I didn't say that. Give track, but inside of it, be the biggest tipper of the day. And they'll remember, they'll say, that's one of them Christians that came in and they tipped me. I got the biggest tip of the whole day. Say it with me, I want to be a waterer. I just want to be a waterer, man. I ain't worried about it anymore. When you grow up in Christ, you don't worry about it anymore, Tracy. You've been this far in the game. Nobody needs to pat me on the back. I'm a grown man. You don't need to pump me up or primp me up or high-five me to get to church. I'm going to be at church regardless. You don't need to give me an attaboy. I'm doing it because I want to do it. I like water. I like high-fiving. I like being part of somebody's dreams. I don't want to be that toxic person that's always looking down their dang nose at somebody. What a turnoff that is. So here's what I'm going to leave you with before we get ready for the Lord's Supper. I did it in the last service, and boy, I'll tell you what, there's something going on today right now in I know you want to give something to somebody. It's the water treatment. It's God's wanting you to water their seed. So here's what I want you to do. If you feel like you feel something bubbling up inside of you, that's God stirring your spirit. The living water's in there, and it's trying to get out, Tracy, to go share with somebody else. I got this thing in me. I'm going to share with everybody till I go to sleep tonight. And when I get up, I'm going to do it again. You have been filled with God's blessing, filled with God's word and filled with God's spirit and filled with God's love. He wants you to go out and water. So the hands raised that want to be waters, come down here. We're going to commission you to go out into the field and in the restaurants today and the ice cream shops. And let's bring the house lights down just a little, just a fuzz. I just want to be a waterer. I want to water. Wouldn't you? I mean, for heaven's sakes. You know, when I tell people to put their prayers on the prayer wall, I mean put them on there because I love praying for those people. I want to be a water. I want to help somebody. I want to help somebody get healed, JD. I want somebody to get saved. I want somebody to be healed. I want their family to come to Christ. I want their family to function. Well, I want their kids to do good. I want them to get good grades. I want the mom and dad to be healthy financially and physically and spiritually. Don't you want them to read God's word? Father God, with our hands held high, we want to leave here, Lord God, not just as a stream or a trickle. We want to be a river of living water. Lord, we want to help people's dreams come true. We know we can do it. We already know we can do it because you've already given us the resource. You give us America. You've given us good jobs and good homes and a great church to worship. We know that we can water. Yes. We know we can. We know that there's living water bound up in us that needs to get out, and it needs to be a flood, Lord God, to bless everyone who is out there today. We pray it starts today with us. And Lord God, I pray that through this prayer and through our actions, you living inside of us, other people would be blessed. And Lord God, I ask you to show yourself through the Lord's Supper today in a mighty, mighty way. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus.
And all of God's people said, amen.